Welcome to another episode of Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. I am your host, Karen Litzy, and I want to thank you all for joining me today. And I have a little bit of a something going on, so that's why my voice may seem a little lower or may go a little scratchy at times, so bear with me through the show today. So today's episode, I wanted to talk about sort of a favorite subject on this show, and again, it's the subject of pain. Now, last week, I had a great show. We had a physical therapist, Barrett Dorco, on, and we talked more sort of big picture kind of stuff, you know, how you interact with your patients, or let's say if you're a massage therapist or your clients, if you're in really in any profession where someone is coming to you for help because they are in pain. So a lot of the talk today will sort of focus more on, you know, your physical therapist, but if you're a massage therapist, if you're an acupuncturist, if you are a yoga instructor, a Pilates instructor, some of the tips that I'll give you today, even though you may not know the pain science, it may be a little, you know, outside of your scope of care, or maybe you just haven't educated yourself on it yet, but just getting some of these tips that I've learned over the past year, I think will be really helpful. Now, I'll talk a little bit about acute pain and a little bit more about chronic pain. And again, if anyone has any questions for me regarding pain or regarding pain that you may be having or need some explanation, feel free to call in toll free at 877-480-4120. Okay, so first, you know, as I was trying to get this talk together, I was going to go in and talk about, you know, just what is pain and this and that. And then I thought, you know, let me take it back a step. You know, we're going to talk about how we interact with our patients. So there are a lot of variables or potential variables just within the interaction of our patients or our clients. So there are certain features that maybe, you know, we can sort of brainstorm and talk about. So there's the features of the deliverer or features of the therapist. And this was information that I got at the Explain Pain course when I was in Quebec City with David Butler. So this all is sort of credited to his work. So, you know, we're sitting as a class in this course, and he's asking us, what are some features of the deliverer, features of the therapist, features of the caregiver, and how can some of those features play into how the learner or the patient is going to accept your information? And things such as gender, your communication skills, the love of your job. You know, people can certainly pick up if you have a patient come in and you seem annoyed or you seem like you want to be somewhere else, the patient will pick that up, and it will definitely be a lot harder for you to get information across because they're going to think that you don't care. So if you don't care about your job, how can you care about this patient coming in to see you? Empathy. The experience of the therapist, believe it or not, where the therapist lives, which sounds kind of crazy, but in certain studies, they found that therapists that live in a rural community may be less trust in that patient than those that live in a more urban community. Because, you know, we all think, oh, that person lives out in the sticks, so they don't know anything. And that's obviously not true, but that can certainly be a potential variable. Are you trustworthy? Are you attractive? Are you likable? Do you come across as knowledgeable? Are you motivating? And can you adapt your story? So if you're trying to tell your patient about pain, and we'll get into this a little bit later, are you very rigid in your telling of your story of pain and your explanation of pain, or can you adapt according to your patient? So it's important not to go in with just a script of this is what pain is, but you have to sit and you have to listen to that patient, see what they're giving you, and then you can turn around and give them a good explanation. So those are just some features of the therapist that have to be taken into account. And think about that. think about what are your communication skills? Do you have empathy? Do you want to be there that day? Do you have other things on your mind? Are you trustworthy? You know, are you knowledgeable? Another thing is actually, are you motherly? Believe it or not, females usually get a higher rating from patients because of sort of a motherly type of a concept for the patient. So maybe women may come across as being more caring. So these are just kind of things to think about. Now, there's also the features of the learner or the patient. So what is their knowledge level? Are you talking to a 7-year-old or are you talking to a 70-year-old? You know, what is their background? And you can get that just from talking to them in the beginning in your interview process. Where do they live? What is their willingness to get better? You know, sometimes, and if you're a healthcare professional, you may have seen patients come in who perhaps aren't willing to get better. They don't want to listen to what you have to say. They're only coming to you because the doctor said they should. You know, or my friend recommended me. I had a patient a couple of years ago who came in and she said, I've had pain and weakness for a while. My trainer said I should come and see you, but I don't really expect anything to happen. Well, that, you know, right off the bat as a therapist, you don't say, okay, well, I'm not going to really try that hard because they don't have any expectations. That should be a challenge to you as the therapist. And you know, in the end, this woman used to come in and be very sort of down on the whole process. Well, long story short, she left without pain and had a lot of muscle strength back where she didn't think that she would ever have the strength back. So her whole attitude changed. So it was a real success story. So what is that patient's willingness? What are their existing conceptions of what's going on? So a lot of times, at least here in the United States, the patient will go to the doctor. They have pain. Let's say it's back pain. We talk about back pain all the time, so let's stick with back pain. So let's say you have back pain, you have pain down your legs, or maybe it's just in your back. You go to the doctor, you get an MRI, the doctor gives them their thoughts, etc. You get an MRI and it says you have 3 herniated discs, and the doctor says there you have degenerative discs. Now, let's say that's a person in their 50s or 60s. Yeah, they have degenerative discs. We have degenerative changes as we age, you know. So this person may come in and think, oh my gosh, like I am broken. This is what the doctor said. There's no hope for me. I'm afraid to move. I have the back of a 70-year-old. So that is this patient's existing conceptions. And this is something that you want to pick up on during your interview process, you know. You may ask them, have you had an MRI? I always ask patients, well, what did the doctor say? You know, and then the patient will tell you what the doctor said. And usually what the doctor says really sticks with that patient. So what are their conceptions? What is their level of catastrophizing? You know, so it's, well, you know, I have this back pain and it's never going to get better. I'm never going to be able to go back to work. I'm never going to be able to, you know, and their catastrophizing just keeps going and going. Other features of the learner are their confidence, their ego, their abilities. And another thing that's a good question and something to pick up on the patient is it important for them to change? Is it important in their life to not have this pain? Because believe me, I've met people who pain, they've had it for a long time. It's a part of them. And without that pain, who are they? You know, they're so identified themselves with their pain. So they're the person, they're the friend that always has pain. You know, I'm the girl with the pain. So if you don't have the pain, well, now you have to really start looking at yourself and thinking, well, what else do I have to offer if I don't have this pain? And so that's a big thing to think about also. And we'll sort of get into that a little bit later when I talk about a video with Peter O'Sullivan. Okay, so you have features of the deliverer, features of the learner. What about features of the message that you're trying to get across? So you want to explain to your patient what pain is, where pain comes from, how it works. So that message needs to be comprehensible. It needs to be plausible. It needs to be compelling. Are you going to give this message one-on-one to your patient? Is it going to be in a group setting? You know, can you, again, have alternative knowledge, so you may have to meet the patient at their story, meet the patient at their comprehension level. You know, if you're a physical therapist and you have all this neuroscience knowledge in your head and you're so excited to get out and the patient looks back at you with like glazed over look, kind of like a mannequin, well, then you have to think to yourself, okay, this may not be the knowledge base that this patient is comfortable with, and you may have to adjust that for your patient. Can you think about the content in which that you're telling them? The time frame you have, you know, an initial evaluation is an hour. You're certainly not going to just sit there for an hour and talk to them about pain. You need to get to know them. You need to see them move. You need to see what's going on. So what is your time frame? Do you have to break it up over a couple of sessions? Can you use multimedia in order to deliver your message? So can you use pictures? Can you use videos? And of course the answer is yes and yes. And you know, after talking to your patient, maybe they learn better by looking at things, by visualizing things versus you just telling them. And then lastly, we want to look at what are the features of the context or the environment that you're in? What are the socioeconomic features that you have to work with? Can this patient, let's say they say, I can only afford to come once a week for a month. I can't afford these co-payments. At least this is here in the U.S. I can't afford to take off work to come to physical therapy. So you have to tailor your message. The geography, do they have to drive very far just to get to you? Is that going to play into how they're going to receive your message? The insurance company here in the U.S., it's a real pain in the ass, you know? There's no other way to put it. Some insurance companies are okay, and some, you know, they certainly make it a little more difficult. And then you have the social context and perhaps a political context in which you're trying to get this message across about pain. So those are just some things that you want to think about when you're sitting and you're interviewing your patient. You know, you want to look at the features of the deliverer being you, the therapist, the caregiver, the features of the learner being the patient, the features of your message, what you're trying to get across, and the features of the context or the environment in which you are doing that. So we'll have you kind of think about that over the next commercial break. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some ways to deliver those messages. So everyone stay tuned.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners.
Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative.
Welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. I'm your host, Karen Litzy, and I'm pleased to say that I had a call-in over the commercial break, and on the line we have my guest from last week, Barrett Dorco. So, Barrett, hi. Thanks for calling in.
I'm glad to. I'm going to take a moment and make sure you got a phone call.
Oh, thank you. So, you know, you sort of heard it as I was saying over the last segment about, you know, kind of backing it up a little bit and talking about different features of the therapist and the caregiver and the patient, the environment and everything else. So I would love to hear kind of your thoughts or your comments on that.
I think that this sort of thing is understood retrospectively. I think about how in the last 2 years I've gotten along wonderfully well with a captain of industry and another fellow who looked like he lived under a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But not to say that there's anything bad about that, but they were both people I was able to approach and befriend and find out what I needed to from. That story is something they need to tell. And they need to tell it in a lot of different ways, as does the therapist.
Right, yeah, and I agree, and I think that's where, you know, you have to, as the therapist, be able to, I think, be flexible in how you want to deliver your knowledge, and that, like I said, you can't go in with sort of this script on a piece of paper.
No.
And just give that out to all of your patients, because, you know, you'll get some patients, like I have a patient who is a science researcher and a chemist, so he can kind of understand some of these harder concepts, you know. But then you have the patient, like I've had patients who were 12 years old, and I was able to get these concepts across to them.
This is why it's so important for the patient, for the therapist to be aware of the vast variety of cultural information offered us.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to like all of it. But you should know who Honey Boo Boo is as well as Martin Short and Einstein. I mean, you have to have this wide spectrum, or it helps to have it. And that's something that comes naturally to some therapists and not so naturally to others.
Very true, right. And you know, I used to always say, like, every day, the first thing I would do in the morning as I get on the bus to go see a patient is I would read all the top headlines of the day. And that would be the top headlines in, you know, just across the world. Business, entertainment, like you said. It's good to know that Honey Boo Boo's uncle just got arrested.
Absolutely.
You know, or that
actually,
Princess Kate is pregnant.
I'm glad you told me.
Yeah, or like Princess Kate is pregnant, you know. These are things. Yeah, well, she is. There's an heir to the throne. So,
she was going in for acute morning sickness?
Yes, that's what she was going in for, acute morning sickness.
Put in detail there.
Yes. So, you know, I mean, it's good to know these things because, like you said, you know, I can be treating anyone from a 12-year-old to a president of a hedge fund.
Yes.
You know, so it's good to be able to create a common ground with that patient. And again, I think that it then allows the patient to put a little more trust in you. They know that maybe you're more knowledgeable.
Absolutely. They should not all be stories about you, but you can personalize the story to some extent, but that's got to be brief and to the point.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then what I find is if you can find that sort of common ground or that area where the patient can feel more comfortable, they're going to tell you more.
Yes.
you know, and it's important to be able to create that environment for your patient, because if you have a patient coming in and they just say to you, I have pain in my back, and you're like, okay, and the, you know, and they don't want to give you any more information, it's really hard as the therapist to interpret what you're seeing physically on the patient if they're not giving you anything, you know, if they're not giving you any information about what they're feeling, whether that be what they feel physically, pain, or what they feel, you know, what are their conceptions, their preconceptions.
I think there's a strong parallel between what we do in order to embrace people and their problems and what a good salesman will do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good reason to read books about what makes a good salesperson.
I agree. That's, you know, you know, I've mentioned this before, my boyfriend's father works in television, and the one day he and I were sitting down and talking, and we were saying, like, what are some of the good qualities that my boyfriend has? And I was talking about how he has the ability just naturally to sit down with a PhD or with a child and have a great conversation and be able to interact with all different kinds of people and to make you feel comfortable and everything else. And his dad said that he always thought he should be a salesman.
Yeah.
Because he sort of has that ability.
A lot of people would say success in just about any venue has first and foremost to do with sales.
Yeah.
And I find that difficult to believe. My father was a pitch man.
Oh, really?
And that's a specific kind of salesman, and
uh-huh.
I think about it often.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that also kind of brings me to the video. I think Jason Silvernail had posted it on his Facebook page, and it's a video of Peter O'Sullivan. Did you see that video? I think
yes,
you saw it. Yeah.
Yes, I watched it a couple times.
Yeah, so did I. I've watched it a couple times. First time I watched it, second time I watched it, to really kind of understand through their accents what they were saying, because they're both Australian, so it was a little tricky. But watching Peter O'Sullivan interview this patient, and it was really a masterful interview, I thought, because he was able to, with very clear, concise questions, get this patient to really reveal what he's been feeling.
Exactly.
And it's really, I don't know if you quoted it, it was like a really watching like a master at work.
And I think it was Jason that said that.
Oh, was it?
And he has also said that of me, coincidentally.
Uh-huh.
But I don't see this as a masterful thing so much as it's a big part of being a therapist who loves their job.
Right, right. Yeah, and like I said before, like if you're like annoyed just being at work, and you can't fake your way out of that one.
No.
You know, like your patient's going to pick up on that, and they're going to be wondering, well, why did I come here? You know, as you're treating your patient, that should come across, that you love what you're doing and you're there to really help this person. And I think that's what, you know, the video, just for people listening, the video with Peter O'Sullivan, it's Jack with Peter O'Sullivan. And you can find that on YouTube. And if you're a healthcare provider, I would really, really encourage you to watch this. And like Barrett said, like watch it several times. But it's sort of a video of Peter O'Sullivan speaking to a patient a year after he first saw him.
Yeah.
And they videotaped their first meeting, and the guy had this back pain. And I must say, he's a young guy. He couldn't have been more than 35 years old. And, you know, he's coming in with this preconceived notions of, well, the doctor said I have a back of an 80-year-old. He said, the doctor said I could fall apart at any minute, you know. And so automatically he said his mind was like, well, I can't move. I need to. And he was bracing so much with his abdominal muscles. And you try and just watch him roll over. He couldn't even roll over. You know, there was, and it was because he was so fearful of this, of movement in any form. And as you watch, you know, Peter O'Sullivan kind of talks to him and said, well, what if I asked you to pick this pen up? And he watches him do it. And he said, well, what if I asked you to relax these muscles here? And what Peter said, and it was a quote that I really liked, was he said to this patient, Jack, okay, so once you experience the movement without pain, you realize you're not going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful statement for a patient who is so fearful that they're going to break in half if they try and move.
You notice that Peter didn't say that until the patient knew he could trust him.
That's right.
The timing of that is equally important.
Right, that's right. I agree 100%. It's not like the first time he met him, he's like, you can move, you won't fall apart. Come on, just move. Let's go. Just move it.
That's cheerleading.
Yeah, yeah. He just sort of eased him into this movement. And that quote of once you were able to experience movement without pain, you realize you weren't going to fall apart, that was on the year later when he had him coming in a year later and sort of talking about him. And he, you know, this is just a quick 7-minute video, so I'm sure there's a lot more behind it. And what I also thought was interesting, and it's something that I have to admit that I don't say enough or ask enough of my patients is, you know, after the patient's feeling better, Peter said to Jack, what were the key things that for change for you? So over this past year, the guy went from not even being able to sit for a half an hour. Now he's like literally digging ditches, you know? And Peter said to him, what were the key changes for you from then until now? And, you know, Barrett, you heard it. The patient didn't say, well, I got so much stronger.
No.
Or I got so much more flexible. Or he said, well, my mindset completely changed.
True. And he could probably tell a story about something he noticed one day.
Right.
Giving the opportunity to tell that story is also really important.
Right, right. And I think, you know, that's something that I admit as a therapist I don't do enough of, you know, and you can ask that, what are some key changes for you? You can ask that at a 1-month follow-up. You know, it doesn't have to be once the patient is being discharged, because there may be small key changes happening all the time. And I think allowing the patient to talk about that is an important way to help them through their rehabilitation or through their journey, so to speak.
It's true. And I'm wondering how we can make that easier for people who have been in the business for a very brief period of time.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it has always meant about simplifying things.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping in mind that simplicity lies on the far side of complexity.
Mm. Very true.
Well, I don't want to take any more of your time, Carrie.
No, I
want to let somebody else call in, but I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, and I appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, have a great day. Okay, well, thank you. A big thank you to Barrett Dorco for calling in. And on that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We're certified mediators. And I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Was a firefly who shined as bright as the moon and the stars with her guiding
light. And welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. I am your host, Karen Litzy, and again, a big thank you to Barrett Dorco for calling in last segment. So today, you know, we're just talking about pain, and I sort of backed it up, and we were just talking about, as the therapist, how you can get your message across. And And, you know, of course, Barrett comes up with a great observation on really kind of trying to keep your message as simple as possible. You know, there's that acronym KISS, K-I-S-S, which is Keep It Simple, Stupid. And I think that really applies in explaining pain to your patients. And again, if anyone has questions or comments, please feel free to call in toll free at 877-480-4120. Okay, so getting back to pain and how do we speak to our patients about pain, and I think listening to them is the best thing you can do to kind of start your story on how you want to relate what pain is to your patient. And this is sort of coming from, again, David Butler's course, Explain Pain. You know, he writes, be prepared to let your patients talk. It is not necessary to begin, quote unquote, the physical after a certain period of time. The more chronic, the greater the likelihood that the patient will want to talk. And ignition cues will be more numerous, complex, and varied than in a tissue-dominant pain state. So, you know, someone comes in with a sprained ankle. It's very acute. You explain to them what's going on. And they're usually pretty accepting of that. It's an acute pain. They can see it. It's swollen. It's red. It's, you know, so on and so forth. When you have those patients that come in and they're more chronic, you know, they're more likely to talk more about what's going on versus, I sprained my ankle, it hurts. You know, so when you have that more chronic pain patient, they're going to be more likely, they're going to have more of a story. So you're going to really want to sit and listen to that story. So what you need to be aware of is, you know, you're going through your evaluation. Be careful of even using the word. So where is your pain? How would you rate your pain? Pain, pain, pain. You know, he says, just ask people, well, how are things? And you know, why do you think this feels the way it does versus constantly using the word pain, 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 pain? I know when Corey Zimney was on a couple of months ago and we were talking about treating acute pain before it kind of gets into that chronic pain state, he said when that acute pain patient comes in, so let's say it's that patient who sprained their ankle, it's the patient who sprained their knee, who has a very acute onset of low back pain, maybe the first time. So Corey said something, and I use it a lot with my patients now, is he said he must use the word normal 1,000 times because pain in the acute state is normal. It's there to protect you. It's an output of your brain. So all of these inputs come in, they travel up. Your brain creates this output of pain because it wants you to say, hey, you sprained your ankle. I'm going to make it hurt because if I don't, you will continue to walk on it and have more tissue damage. So in that acute state, it's normal. And so now, like Corey Zimney, I always say, normal, normal, normal. It's normal to have pain. It's there to protect you, especially in that acute stage. Now, when you're talking about that patient that's more chronic and you're kind of going through your interview and how you want to sort of word your story, the thing that you want to pick up on and that the patients may say is you want to pick up on their thought viruses, sort of quote unquote thought viruses, again from David Butler. So there's really four key thought viruses. One is pain equals damage. In the acute phase, it's true. There's some tissue damage, you have some pain. Very true. In these more chronic pain patients, you know, that tissue damage may have healed by that point. If it's 3 months, if it's a year out, its odds are that tissue is healed. So one of the big thought viruses is, I have pain, therefore there is damage. Or I have pain, therefore I am damaged. So all of a sudden it goes away from, I have pain, therefore there's something, my back is damaged or my neck is damaged. And you get into this mindset of, I have pain, therefore I am damaged goods. I am versus my neck is or my back. So that these chronic pain patients, we really start to so hold on to that pain as part of your identity. Like I said last time, you know, being in pain is part of who you are, that you feel that because you have pain, you're damaged goods. And that's a huge, huge, they call them yellow flags, huge thought virus of, well, you know, we really have to get to the bottom of what this patient is thinking. The next thought virus is, this person is always on the search for the passive answer. So they've come to you, you may be the 10th person they've come to try and get rid of this pain. You know, they've gone to this person, they've done the massage, they've done the acupuncture, they've gone to the doctor, they've gotten the epidural, they've done X, Y, and Z 100 times already, and now they're coming to you. They're looking for that passive answer. I'm coming here, I just want you to take all the pain away. You know, and a good clinician is not going to do that. You know, we are not going to just give you the passive answer. You know, you have to take control, and you as the patient have to understand what's going on. You know, it's sort of that operator versus interactor. And we've talked about that on this show with Jason Silvernail and with Barrett and with Diane Jacobs. And we've talked about, you know, as the clinician or as the caretaker, as being, you want to be an interactor with your patient, not the operator. You don't want to just tell them, just punch in some buttons for that patient and then the patient goes on their way. You want to be interactive with that patient. And that interaction starts with that interview. You want to listen to them. What are they saying and how can you best formulate your story to explain pain to them? The next thought virus is fear avoidance. And everyone has, you know, maybe a little bit of that, but it's the, oh, I can't carry groceries, it's going to hurt my neck. Oh, well, I don't do that because it's going to hurt my back. You know, I can't run, it's going to hurt my neck. I can't do, I can't do, I can't do. And that is your fear avoidance behaviors. The last thought virus is social withdrawal. So the patient says, oh, I used to do all this stuff with my friends, but now, you know, I don't because it's going to hurt my neck or it's going to hurt my back or I feel safest or I feel more comfortable when I'm at home. You know, so these are all things that, and you know, like David Butler said, the patients in these chronic pain states, they're going to want to talk and they'll tell you these things. You know, you just as the therapist have to kind of ask the right questions and kind of allow them to tell their story and not, you know, I've even come to the point now where I'm not even doing the rate your pain on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, I sometimes I have to because insurance companies, you know, require you to do that, but you get so much of a better sense of this person's pain by just allowing them to tell their story. So now you get all of this information, let's say with your chronic pain, and again, we'll use neck pain, I guess, back pain. So do they have any of these thought viruses? If they do, now you have to sort of formulate your story on what is the best way for you to get through to this patient. Now, as a physical therapist, I'm kind of lucky because I've gone through all of this. I've had the chronic neck pain. I've had the pain, I'm damaged goods. I was going to every doctor and their mother to try and figure out what was going on. I've had the fear avoidance of social withdrawal. So I can share my own experience with the patient, you know, and the patient says, but I have these herniated discs. And I would say, well, I've got five in my neck. And you see me, I'm moving around, I'm bending, I'm taking exercise classes, I go to Pilates, you know, I'm able to do all of this stuff, and it doesn't affect me anymore. And I tell patients a big part of that was due to the fact that I changed my mindset. So I heard David Butler speak 2 years ago at an APTA conference and cried for like 2 weeks, and then I was fine, you know. Not fine, but it certainly opened the door for me to lead me down a really, really good path and allow me to let go of these thought viruses, you know, these I'm damaged goods, the I can't do this, you know. And those fear avoidance behaviors, you gradually work those back into your life, you know, and that's what I tell my patients. I say, you know, if they say, oh, I can't carry groceries because it's going to hurt, I say, well, try carrying them from the elevator into your apartment, you know, if you have them delivered. Try carrying it across the street, and you'll see little by little that that is not what's causing your pain. Groceries aren't what is not what's causing your pain. Pain is an output of your brain. So when the brain realizes, especially with fear avoidance, that, hey, this is stuff that we can do and there's no pain, it's going to allow you to do those activities. You know, that's one way that I will try and kind of slip in the story of what pain is to my patients, because I can use myself. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll give you some other, maybe examples with a focus on the message that you're trying to get across on how you can better explain pain to your patients. So everyone stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
This ain't a song for the broken hearted. The silent prayer.
And welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. I am your host, Karen Litzy, and today we're talking about, explaining pain to your patients. I guess it should be maybe called listening to your patients and trying to create a story around that patient's pain experience as a door opening for you to go in and explain to them, you know, what pain is and why they may be experiencing it. So when you're explaining pain to the patient, I always say, like, if the patient can take away that pain is an output of the brain in our first session and really understand that, then I'm happy with that. I'm happy that they can kind of conceptualize that and not think that, you know, the pain comes from the back or the pain comes from a quote unquote slip disc or something like that. And so I'm sort of happy with that. Another thing that I guess this segment will be kind of what I like to tell my patients. When you have a chronic pain situation, and again, this comes from David Butler's work, Lorimer Mosley's work on pain. I always give the example, and it's in the Explain Pain book by Mosley and Butler. Think of two mountain peaks, and I sort of show the patient this on paper because it really is a lot easier. But think of two mountain peaks, and think that these mountain peaks are sort of Mount Everest kind of mirroring each other. So if you get to the very top of that mountain, odds are something's going to hurt. You know, it's an extra human experience to be able to do that. You may have a sprain or a muscle pull or something like that. You may have pulled something in your back or your neck, your hauling equipment. Anyway, in a normal person who is not in a chronic pain state, they may feel that pain right before they hit the summit, okay? And they'll have, or I'm sorry, they may have tissue damage right before they sort of hit the summit, and they'll have pain a little bit before that. So you have the pain, the body realizes, yes, you have tissue damage, it's there for protection. In people with a chronic pain state, they're going to, yes, have that tissue damage, maybe a little bit below the peak, but they're going to feel that pain at base camp. So you have all this space in between base camp and closer to that peak where there is no tissue damage happening, yet they're having pain. And that's sort of a powerful visual to give someone when you're seeing them. It's powerful in that you can say, look, you have from here to here where you're not going to have tissue damage, yet your body, your brain gives the output that of pain, because don't forget, the brain will create pain if there is actual tissue damage or if it thinks there's tissue damage. And that goes into kind of changing that mindset. So for me, I remember thinking, well, I can't run because it's going to hurt my neck. And I said this to David Butler, and he's like, seriously, let's break this down here. If you went and you ran for 10 minutes, do you think that's seriously going to injure your neck? And I said, well, no, you know, coming from the not PT side of me, well, no. And he's like, well, I want you to do it, and I want you to let me know what happens. So I went and I ran from my apartment, went to Central Park, ran back, and guess what? I was completely fine. So what was I able to do next? I was able to go a little further, So I was able to kind of grade up my activity level. You know, I said, I'm going to start taking Pilates. I would have never dreamed of doing that 2 years ago because I would have thought it's too much pressure on my neck. I can't do it. And you know something? I can. And I've been doing it for a year and I've had no problems. And in fact, I feel much better. I do. I can say I do feel stronger and I am able to do more things than I was able to do 2 years ago. So, you know, just really thinking about the, and I go back to that myself, that sort of two peak example of, you know, pain is way down at base camp and tissue damage is way up towards the peak. So I think in your chronic pain patients, it's a great visual. It's a great way for that patient to understand that if they do simple movements, that they're not going to damage anything. And I think that's very important to know and very important to really get that point across to your patient. So that is definitely something that I do all the time. Now, another thing when you're sort of managing your patients, and this is something that, you know, was emphasized at the Explain Pain course, was no freaking out over flare-ups. So no freaking out. More activity may cause some discomfort or pain. But if you have that discomfort, and of course, it doesn't mean you get up and you're stuck in your bed and you can't do anything. But with the proper graded exercise program that a physical therapist will give to you, you may have a little discomfort. You may have a little bit of pain, but no freaking out over the flare-ups, because what happens? It takes you back to this man that Peter O'Sullivan was interviewing, Jack, who tensed up his whole body and didn't move as a result. So realizing that you may have some discomfort as you go through your exercises or you grade yourself up, that's okay. Another thing that they talk about during management, another metaphor, is even God rests. So it's okay to take a break. The last one is your next position is your best position. Meaning if you're sitting and you're uncomfortable, it's okay to shift to another position. That position will be your best position for that time, for that space. So being able to get these concepts across to your patients, I think, is very important, because what is it doing? It's bringing down that yellow flag, that fear avoidance, that pain, I'm damaged. You know, you really want to help to change that patient's mindset. So these are just some things, you know, that I like to talk to my patients about, especially in the first couple of sessions. The other thing, and I think Corey Zimney also said this during his talk, and I've started to use it also, is, you know, people, to kind of get them out of that mindset is something is damaged. I have pain because there's damage. So I always tell people, well, think about you're crossing the street and you look up and a bus is out of control and hurling at you, and you run, you fall into a pothole and you keep running. You feel nothing. You keep running. Then like a half an hour later, you're like, boy, my ankle's really sore. Because, you know, you twisted your ankle running to get out of the way of that bus, but your ankle didn't hurt. So was there tissue damage? Yeah, you twisted the ankle. But because your brain was focused on keeping you alive by getting you out of the way of that bus, you didn't feel that pain. So there you go. You know, all pain does not have to include tissue damage, and all tissue damage does not equal pain. And that's something that I try and get across to my patients. And you know, I've found really good success within the first couple of sessions just trying to get across those three concepts. So if you get across nothing else, those three I think are really important, and I've had some good results with that. So unfortunately, we're sort of running out of time here. We just have a couple of minutes left. But I do want to thank Barrett for calling in. And I want to thank David Butler and Lorimer Mosley for all of their good work. And I want to talk about my guest next week coming on the show. I have a physical therapist. His name is Adrian Lowe. He is a wonderful physical therapist. He teaches with David Butler. He has the international... he is, next week, we will be talking about his current research into pain education given to patients before they go in for, right now he's just doing, his research is on low back, but be going in for low back surgery, and how just getting that education ahead of time, what sort of changes is he seeing on the other end? Do these patients have less pain when they come out of surgery because of the education they're getting ahead of time? And judging by all the stuff that we have said today and how you know, mind shifts and understanding what's going on with your body to decrease that fear, you can probably guess what the answer is to that question, but we'll save that for next week with Adrian Lowe. And then after that, we only have one more show left for this season, and we're going to have on my favorite social worker and founder of Real Beauty is Lori Fields. And we're going to talk about looking back on this, the year that has just passed, and what has happened, good or bad for you, and how to take that and bring it with you into the new year. And then, you know, next week and the following week, we'll talk about all the big stuff we have planned just for the month of January alone. So thank you all for tuning in, and stay healthy, wealthy, and smart.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We are certified mediators, and I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
TalkingAlternative.com.